All right, we're going to continue the study today on the blessed life. That's something the Lord laid on my heart there. Oh, a few weeks ago after I was kind of transitioning from another message, I hadn't really thought about this. You know, I just kind of, you take a lot of things for granted, don't you, sometimes in life, you know, especially in the things of God. But, you know, life is full of choices. And some of the choices are hard. And also some of the choices are very easy. You know, I think it's easier to make one big choice instead of a bunch of little ones, you know. And how that works out is if we just choose to obey God's word instead of just having to decide little bits and pieces of God's word, I believe our life will get a little easier. And usually I found out that in our culture we chase blessings, but in the Bible the blessings will chase us if we obey God. And that's what we're going to look at today. I'm excited about this. You know, it may crucify our flesh, some of this, a little bit. So be kind of prepared for that. But Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 and 2 is what we're going to look at. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 and 2. And I encourage you today, or the next few days, take a little time to read Deuteronomy 28. It's a very long passage. I'm only going to read a couple scriptures out of it. It's a passage where God was talking to the children of Israel and told them about choices. And one choice will bring blessing and one choice will bring the curse. And he left it up to them. And I think he leaves it up to us today. It says, "Now it shall be, if you diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do that his commandments, which I commanded you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth." Then he says, "All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God." Let's pray. Father God, I thank you that you've called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. Lord, we're so excited about the things that you're doing in each of our lives. Lord, we don't want to stay the same, but we want to grow into the person that you want us to be. Lord, I thank you for the anointing here to break every yoke of bondage upon our lives. I thank you for stirring up the gift inside of me and using it for your glory. Lord, help us to receive everything that you have for us today with the gift of the Spirit to be in operation. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I was just thinking about this, but wouldn't it be cool if the blessings started coming our way instead of problems? I don't know if you ever had problems before. I've had problems. And, you know, the Word says here that all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you, meaning the blessings are going to start to chase you down. And if you think about that, that's an awesome way to live. You know, you're just going through life, just serving God, and all of a sudden, wham, here comes a blessing your way. And you didn't expect it, but all of a sudden, God just wanted to do it. And see, that's the kind of God that we serve. So the first point I'm going to look at today is the idea of the blessing or curse, blessing or curse. Like I mentioned, Israel could choose what they wanted, just like you and I get to choose. We have choices to make all the time. You know, in life, we all sometimes, you know, we're going down a path or a road, and all of a sudden there comes a fork or a T, shall we say. And we have to choose which way we're going to go. And I think that's the way life is, especially in the things of God. Which road do we want to take? Do we want to go to the left or do we want to go to the right? One will bring, if we obey, will bring blessings. The other is a curse if we just want to do our own thing our way. And you can go out, and there's many people doing it right now, doing their own thing, and they seem like they're doing okay. They may have some money in the bank, and things may look like it's all right. But they're not really walking in the blessings of God that he has for us. And there's a difference between the two. And the good news I like is that God gave us that freedom to be able to choose. And that's one of the greatest gifts that God's given you and me. He could have made robots and made us do anything, but right now, you know, each of us can have that opportunity to choose blessing or curse, life or death. And sometimes people freak out when they have to choose, but it's a good thing. But I think it's sad when we want the blessings of God while we live like the devil. You know what I mean? And that's what I've experienced, you know, in dealing with people for the last 30 years in the body of Christ. You know, God bless them sometimes, but they bless their little hearts, you know, like the old saying was. But a lot of times they just think they can have their cake and eat it too, and it doesn't work like that. But what I found out in my life, and I hope you write this down, is the blessed life is the best life. If you can start to get over into the blessed life, into the things of God, you're going to find out that is the best life. And you're going to experience things that you never thought you could. Now, the first part of Deuteronomy 28 is talking about the blessings. And there's 14 verses in that part. And I'm not going to read them all, but I'm going to break them down here in a minute. But also, then it says in the last part of Deuteronomy 28, there's 54 verses that deal with the curse. Now, I'll tell you what, if you've ever read that, it gets quite detailed when it talks about the kind of curses that can come on people. And so that's why I say it's good to read that and just kind of see. And we're going to look at conditional blessings. Like we talked about last week, you know, some blessings are automatic and then other blessings are conditional. Last week we looked at spiritual blessings, okay? Now spiritual blessings are automatic. When you're born again, you just get those. That's just the way it is. God just chose to give them to you. That's because He loves you. And you need to kind of know what those are. And we kind of looked at a few of them a little bit. It broke it down in Ephesians chapter 1, and I just looked at five different, I believe five or six, I can't remember, I had five written down here now. Five different blessings that God gives us. Number one, we're chosen. Remember that? We're chosen to be a part of the body of Christ. When you tap in to being born again, then you come into a new family and you're part of the body of Christ. Next, we look at the idea of what it means to be predestined to adoption. You know, God knew beforehand that you was going to make the decision that you did. Number three, we looked at the idea of being accepted. Everybody wants to be accepted. Nobody wants to be rejected, right? I mean, we've all been rejected from a time or two in our life, and we know the pain and everything that that brings to our life, that somebody doesn't like us or somebody doesn't want us, but here God wants us to know that we're accepted. Then it goes on, we looked at the idea of redeemed, what it means to be redeemed, and lastly, that we're sealed. And it's a seal that can't be broken by any devil. Anybody can break that seal of the Holy Spirit, okay? So it's critical that we understand, if we're ever going to walk in these blessings, that we understand at least those five little points, you know. And there's so many more. But if you kind of get those down inside of you, you'll never doubt who you are in Christ again. Now in the New Testament, I just want to put a disclaimer. We've got to try to merge these two worlds together, you know. Because we're New Testament. Jesus Christ went to the cross, died, and rose again. So we're under a different covenant than the children of Israel. But yet there is some overlap. And we need to understand what that overlap is a little bit. So to me, we're under grace. But see, grace is not an excuse not to obey God's word. See, a lot of times people use grace as an excuse that they don't have to obey what the Bible says. They can go out and do whatever they want. And they say, well, how's that work? And he says, grace. Grace. Well, I believe in grace. But see, grace to me is empowerment to overcome. It's not an excuse to make for what we want to just do out of God's will because we just chose to do so. See, there's a balance between grace and obedience. Now, the other blessings that we're going to get into today, they're in the Bible, they're conditional. And conditional means, you know, because God said, if the children of Israel do this, God will do this, okay? So unless they were obedient, they would not get the blessing, okay? Now, a lot of people, like I said, a lot of people just want to live like the devil and get the blessing of God. That'd be a perfect world, right? And there's religions built around that, you know. But it doesn't work that way. Believe me, it doesn't work that way. Now, what I see here is that obedience is like a magnet. It will draw the blessings of God to us. So, and obedience isn't that bad. I know some people don't like it. You know, especially husbands, don't try this at home, but if you pull that you need to obey me card to your wife, you know, if you have to tell your wife to obey you, you're not in charge. You know what I'm saying? You're really not in charge. You know, you've missed the whole point of what it means to lead your wife. If you're a good man and a godly man, you know, unless you got a real dud, and I don't think anybody here has a dud for a wife, but if you're a godly man and you're doing good by your family, your wife's going to follow you. She's going to go anywhere you want to go. Right? At least that's what I see usually happens. Now, there are some exceptions, but we're not going to cover those today. Those aren't no fun, right? So, lifestyle choices play a big part when it comes to the life of God. You know, the lifestyle choices. What kind of life do you want to live? Now, as a matter of fact, the blessing would chase them down and overtake them once they made that lifestyle choice. Now, I'm going to go through this fairly quickly. In Deuteronomy 28, there's primarily kind of six different blessings and six different curses broken down. They're all kind of summed up and weaved in there. You might be able to find others if you want, but I'm just going to cover these just briefly. Number one, if you're obedient, we're going to go with the good ones first. Amen. You want the good news or bad news first? I'm going to go for the good news, okay? God's a good news person. Okay, the first one's exaltation. Okay, God will lift us up and everyone will see that the hand of God is on your life. Has anybody ever come up and told you that? Man, you're really blessed. Looks like God's really moving in your life. If you haven't had that, you need to kind of maybe start walking a little higher obedience and start giving God the glory. They'll notice that. They'll notice that the hand of God is on your life, and it's a powerful thing. See, people will see the advantage of what it means to be a follower of Christ. See, a lot of people kind of just make being a Christian, and they make it about what they can't do. You know what I mean? Have you ever ran into those guys? They make the whole relationship about God of what they can't do. You can't do this, you can't do that, you ain't supposed to do that, and all this, instead of what they can do. And see, we need to make it about what we can do. And when we do that, you know, the joy of the Lord becomes our strength, and then we start to really tap into the good things of God, and then people's going to want to be around us and be a part of what we're doing. The second thing is prosperity. Everybody likes prosperity, right? Most people want more money in your bank, things like that. You know, it talks in them 14 verses that your field, see, this is more agriculture, so you have to adapt it over into your world. It says your field will be blessed, your basket will be blessed, the animals will be blessed, and we'll have some in our storehouses, and we'll be a prosperous people. See, it just talks about the blessing that comes on you. Now, anybody that's ever done any gardening or anything farming life, you know you need your rains, you need your things just at the right time. And here God is making that promise that if you will obey me, I'm going to take care of your stuff. I'm going to make sure everything's going good with you. And you're going to have some in your storehouse. Nobody wants to live hand to mouth, do you? I mean, I don't think we do. I think we want to have a little excess, and we're going to look at that next week, what we do with some of our excess and why God blesses us. What I like about this, it says, we will lend and will not borrow. Have you ever had to borrow money? I suppose a lot of people have. It's fun for the first week, isn't it? You get that big check and you go out and get what you want. Well, then a little bit later, you start paying on that. You have to pay that. And then if you calculate what your principal is and then what you're paying on interest, you can really get depressed. I mean, it can be depressing. I mean, I encourage you, if you struggle with depression, don't calculate that out, because it's going to bum you out. See, but the Bible says that we can put ourselves in, and it's by some wise stewardship choices too, you know, that we can get to the place where we can be a lender and not a borrower. See, prosperity should lead us closer to God, not away from God. See, a lot of times when people get stuff, they want to go off in other areas and they kind of decide they don't need God no more. I mean, when you're dirt poor and you just got to believe God for every dime, man, you really get close to God then. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we just get as close to God as we can. But then we start to get a little bit of cushion. We kind of say, oh, I'm fine now. I'm okay. I don't really need God that bad now. I can make it. And see, that's not what prosperity is all about. That's when we really miss it. And what happens, it's sad, but some people feel that the more they have, the more they have to lose, and then they become less generous. And we're going to look at that at the end of the message here a little bit. Thirdly, we're going to look at victory. You know, we'll have victory over our enemies. You know, Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon formed against you will prosper. Whatever the devil wants to bring against you, it will not prosper. You're going to have victory. You'll be able to walk in victory. And, you know, and that's a powerful thing. Number four, you're to be the head, not the tail. Now, this one here, whenever I first got saved, this just put a weird picture in my head. I always picture that costume where the horse, where some person gets to be in the front, and the other person has to get in the back. You know, I don't want to be the person in the back. Do you? Nobody wants to be in the back. Everybody wants to be in the front. And see, that's what it's talking about there, is that we'll become the head and not the tail. You know, head is the decision maker, while the tail is the follower. You know, I've dug a few ditches in my day, but I found out it's better to tell somebody to dig a ditch than it is to be the one that has to dig the ditch. I don't know about you, but that's just me. Especially as I get older, you get a little smarter, you know what I'm saying? You know, I don't have anything to prove anymore. Number five, faithfulness. Offspring of our body talks about reproduction. You know, Psalms 127 verse 3 says, children are a heritage from the Lord. You know, sometimes they are, sometimes they ain't, right? But for the Bible says they are, so we're just going to go with that, right? You know, kids are a blessing. They're a heritage. They carry on our family name and all these things. And lastly is health. Now, health in these first 14 verses isn't explicitly spelled out, but when you get to the curses, it is spelled out. The curses that come upon somebody that's not obedient to God. See, divine healing and divine health are for us in the New Testament, and we need to look at that. All right, now we're going to look at six different types of curses briefly, and they're found in verse 15 to 68. Number one, humiliation. Have you ever been humiliated? I have. I've done some things that really, humiliated me. And it says that all the world, humiliation got me all choked up there for a minute. I had a bad memory commit, no. But says all the world will look down upon us. You know, I'm not a very prideful person, but I will say I hate it when people look down on me. I just don't like that, you know. Stick their nose up and think they're better. Secondly, poverty and failure. We'll be the borrower and not the lender. Like I said, that's not a good thing. Thirdly, defeat. All our enemies will rule over us. Number four, our tail will be the tail and not the head. You know, we'll be the follower and not the leader, and that people will rule over us in our life. So that's what happens when we start to operate under a curse. And number five, we'll be barren, have no heirs, no one to follow in our footsteps. And then number six, sickness and disease. It gets pretty explicit when it mentions people will have boils, they'll have tumors, festering sores, even talks about madness and confusion of the mind. You know, I really think that there's a lot of people in our culture that's cursed. And I think part of it is because we've turned our back on God. We've chosen not to walk in obedience to God's word. And we've tried to, you know, kick God out of places that he really needs to be in. And that's something that we as a culture, and especially as Christians, need to try to bring him back any way we can. I'm not saying putting Jesus on your finger and cram it down people's throat. I tried that for years. That don't work. You know what I mean? When I first got saved, I was one of those people you just kind of ran from. You know, if you see me coming down the street, you went to the other side. You know, because I had, you know, I just had come out of such darkness that I was so excited I kind of went a little overboard. But I came back. Now I'm okay. But for the most part. But anyway, those are the curses. So I just wanted to throw those out there. Like I say, read that. It's kind of eye-opening. Now, next point I want to see at is the idea of being blessing-minded versus blessing-focused. And this will help us. Because, hey, I'm all for the culture that we live in. You know, I'm not, you know, I don't believe in greed, but I do believe capitalism is the best model for people to live freely in society. But what happens is that we can get blessing focused instead of blessing minded. And if somebody's blessing focused, all they think about is gimme, gimme, gimme. I want this, I want that. And they're trying to manipulate God's laws, saying that if I give this much, I should get this much back. You know, and they start to calculate all these things out. And we need to make sure that we're not that way, because we need to keep our eye on the source and not the supply. See, if we keep our eye on God and keep close to him, then we won't have this. See, these problems. See, I don't live to be blessed. I'm blessed because I live for God. And I believe that. You know, we've been, you know, ever since, you know, I got saved within about a year, I started tithing and things like this and starting putting God first in my life. And I just live a blessed life. Now, somebody from the outside who has a big house and a fancy car, I may not look blessed, you know, but I am blessed. I really believe that with all my heart. I believe that God's hand is upon myself and my family. And I believe that what we get from God. And I put Him first. And so it's just a mindset of that we need to get into, because the blessed life is the best life. I want you to see that. The blessed life is the best life. See, obedience is the catalyst to release blessing in your life. See, a catalyst is something that when you put it in, when it comes in contact with things, it makes two other things. Let's say if we had thing A and thing B, and they could live by each other and never do anything. But when the catalyst comes in, it causes an explosion. See, obedience is the catalyst, because we got God's word right here. And it's in there. It's just sitting there waiting to do something, right? And then we got our blessing over here. But see, so when we do obedience, it makes God's word kind of explode, and it starts to work in our life. And then we start to see things start to work, and that's faith and obedience, how important it is. See, God's word has the power to accomplish that for which it's sent, but it's just sitting there. Sometimes it's sitting on the book. I used to talk to people when I used to do a lot of street evangelism. They would tell me they had a Bible at home. They told me every day they'd take it down and kiss it. Well, I say, bless your heart. That's awful nice. Do you read it? Oh, no. They just kiss it. Well, that ain't going to help you. It's good to reverence God's word and think it's holy, but it has to be in your heart. You got to open it up. You got to read it. You got to start to bring it into your life. You know, so we need to provide faith and obedience to be able to get where God wants us to be. Now, this is where we're going to get into the flesh pain a little bit. Malachi 3:8-12. Let's turn there. Malachi 3:8-12. Now, we're not going to take up another offering today, so you don't have to get all nervous about it. But this is going to talk about tithing and what that means. See, I think it's very difficult. You know, God will just bless us spiritually, but I think it's really hard to really tap into the blessings of God. It's one of those things, I think, that God wants us to do this, and then He'll do that. And if you can prove me wrong, I encourage you to bring me a scripture and show me that. Now, there's some things God just lavishes on us and blesses us out of mercy, but for the most part, in Scripture, the law of sowing and reaping, you don't get anything unless you sow. That's just the way it is. Whatever you want to sow. So, we're going to start to sow, right? I said that a lot. All right. Malachi 3:8-12. Let's read this. Now, don't get mad at me. I didn't write it. I'm just reading it, right? Okay. I'm just the messenger. Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. Exclamation point. But you say, how have we robbed you? He says, in tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there will be food in my house, and test me now on this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. Then, here's some promises, I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of your ground, nor will the vine in your field cast its grapes, but says the Lord of hosts. Then he says, all nations will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Okay. That's the prophet Malachi speaking by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, okay? See, the nation of Israel, much like our walk with God sometimes, is they would cycle. You know what I mean? They get on fire for God, bless God, hallelujah, woo! Then after a little bit, boom, they just tank. And they turn their back on God. Now, it's kind of a different system back then, but it's similar. See, the 12 tribes of Israel, really there was an extra tribe because Joseph had two sons. What God did is he took the Levite tribe and he pulled them out for himself. And the Levites were the one who was going to serve God at the temple. So they couldn't technically go out and own land and, you know, make their own money. You know, like all the other tribes would get farmland. But see, all the other tribes, you know, because Joseph had two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, and so they became the other 12 tribe, one of them. Okay, so now what happened here was that they were supposed to share a portion of what they had, whatever God said in Scripture, and they would take it to the temple, and then they would either make sacrifices for sins. Let's say you'd done something bad. You'd have to, you know, today you just repent and to Jesus Christ. It's so much easier. It's streamlined, isn't it? But the other time you'd have to take a lamb or something or a bull, and they'd have to kill it, and then they'd have to take the blood, and the priest would have to offer it up. I don't know if I'd have done a priestly job back then. You know, especially if he's in the slaughterhouse deal. It's tough. You know, but I suppose if you're called, you got to do it. But anyway, so what happened here is that it was a conditional blessing. Like I said earlier, you can make all kinds of money without God using worldly principles, but that's not going to be the blessed life. And so how these people would get the blessed life is that they would have to bring a portion to the temple. Some of it was to feed the Levites, and others were for sacrifices, okay? So keep that in your mind. And here God is just talking of a tithe, that's 10%, but there was other giving, if you look through the Old Testament, that they had to do. And now I know we have the government and things like that, so the government's tried to take the place of God in a lot of ways, but I don't want to go down that road right now. Okay, now, so in order to have the blessed life, we need to operate in God's ways. So as we look at this passage of Scripture, we can kind of see some things. Now, some might say, you know, that tithing's under the law, you know, and some may believe that. But tithing started before the law. Tithing started with Abraham. Remember, we looked at last week in Galatians 3, how through Abraham we received the promise of the Spirit, right? We looked at the promise of the Spirit, and that was the blessing that God wanted to impart to people. And through a process of going through some things and trying to get somebody that would finally believe him, because, you know, Adam walked away, so he needed a representative on earth to be able to tap in so God could get back in here to work covenant. We looked at that last week, so you can listen to that sermon online if you want. But here we see the idea that to have the blessed life, we need to operate God's way. So Abraham was before the law. And what happened was that there was a battle and a bunch of different things. But anyway, Abraham, it says, gave a tithe. Now, if you look up the word tithe in the Bible, it's 10, meaning 10%. Okay. So Abraham gave 10% to Melchizedek, which many believe was kind of a representative of Christ. Okay. I mean, there's not too much in the Scripture. There's that place back in Genesis and also in Hebrews it talks about him for sure. But, you know, it just kind of showed that tithing predated the law. Now, some people say that the 10% thing isn't for today. But those that say that believe that you should give even more than 10%. So most people would rather start at the 10%, you know. I've always said you live on 80% of your income, you give 10%, and you save 10%. And that's a good operation to get to, but that's for a different thing. Okay, so there's a difference between being rich and being blessed. Now, how we operate in this is operating in God's ways. Now, some may feel they give up things when they tithe. I really don't. I mean, my wife and I, we've tithed. She tithed even when she was a kid, I think. Probably her bubble gum and stuff. I don't know. But no, she's been, you know, in church since she was a little kid. I was not. So I never started in these things until I got saved and went to Bible school, and then I took a financial, it was one of the classes was on finances, and after that it revealed to me, you know, the things that I needed to do, and I think I've been tithing since 1985, I'm not sure, but it's around there. I got saved, maybe it's 84, but anyway, that long, so it's been a while. Because, you know, it just shows the idea of the difference between, you know, walking in God's blessings and walking in the curse. See, robbing God is a curse. Now, if your faith's not there, I'm just going to give a disclaimer. Just pray that God will help you. I know my pastor out in Denver, you know, he always had the joke, and he was sitting there, and he just opened up his checkbook to God. He says, God, if you can find a tithe, you can have it. You know, because he was that poor. You know, I mean, starting a church and doing all those things and really trusting God. And he said God found the tithe in there and he started to do it. And here's the thing about it. God says you can test him on this, you know, and see if it's true. Now, I'm going to tell you, I've still had a flat tire since I've tithed. You know what I'm saying? There's still some things going to happen in your life, you know. But you'll find out that the blessed life is the best life. Amen. When you start to get into the flow of God's kingdom. Now, I don't meticulously, you know, count out my tithe and say, God, I'm giving you this, so I expect to get this back. I don't do that. I don't think that's a proper attitude. I tithe because I believe in the church. Not just this church, but I started tithing when I was, every church I've been in, I tithe. But I believe in the institution of the church and its commission from God to preach the gospel and to reach the lost. I believe in that. So even if I never was blessed, I still believe in giving to the church. I don't give to a radio station. I mean, that's not the tithe. I don't give to missionaries. That's not the tithe. You know, those are offerings. That's different. That's something that we do, and you get a different blessing with the offering. But you give, you know, your whole, because it talks about here the whole tithe to the storehouse. When it talks about the whole tithe, it doesn't mean to break it up in different pieces or different segments. You know, I'm just saying what the Bible says here. I didn't write this. I'm just reading it. You can read it for yourself if you got a Bible. And just see what God says about this and what he prays. And just pray to him and just see what he tells you. But I'm trying to get you to the blessed life. And I mean that with my whole heart. Extra finances for the church wouldn't hurt either. I'm not going to lie to you either. Because we could do more. But this will help you because it's helped me to be able to walk in this. So it talks about the whole tithe, then it mentions offerings. Now, here's what God's going to do. He said he's going to open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing till it overflows. You know, it's going to make sure that you get the rains in proper time in your life. It talks about there, he's going to rebuke the devourer to protect your harvest. Talks about the grapes being cast, you know. Let's say, you know, the idea of, I see it like if the buds come and then the frost comes, you know, it kills the buds. You know what I mean? So God says he'll protect you from that. And there, and what he says there is going to be, is says, we will be called a blessed and delightful land. That word delightful, when I looked it up, is talking about pleasure. See, whatever the Lord gives you is going to bring pleasure. See, I made money in the world, and I made money in the kingdom of God. And the money in the world, it seems like there was a sense of fear tied to it. You never had enough. No matter how much you made, no matter what you put in the bank. I know people like this. I have some very close friends that have a lot of money. And I'll be honest, if I had their money, I would burn mine. I mean, that's how much money they have. But they don't have the peace I have. I'm more generous. And I'm not bragging, but I am a lot more generous than they are. And they have 3 to 4 or 5 times more money than I have. But they would live in fear because they're cursed. Fear is a curse. And once I got freed up, I'm not saying I don't get, you know, I haven't worried about my checkbook for years, you know, but I don't need a lot to survive. You know, I don't have to be entertained by big expensive stuff. I'm a simple person. Maybe you probably think I'm a simpleton. I don't know. But I mean, I mean, things of this world, I mean, it don't bother me if I don't have name brand stuff. I put my name on it, praise God. You know, that is my brand. You know, I have my own brand, you know, and it don't match, praise God. I'm kidding. I've got to get back here. Okay. All right. So, like I said, whatever we get from the world is never enough. And that's a terrible way to live. It's living in fear. And so, I heard something, the other day, a video from a guy was talking, and he said, you know, do we have an abundancy mindset or a lack mindset? And that's a good question, because before I got saved, I had a lack mindset. You know, God bless, you know, I had my great-grandma, she lived through the Depression, and she took care of me a lot, but one thing that she did that wasn't good is she put the fear of finances in me. I think it's probably because she did live through the Depression and, you know, they just, you know, farming and all that was tough. And I was, you know, and so she had that. And I had to overcome that after I got saved. But, you know, I had a lack mindset. that I could, there was never enough. I always worried about that. So do we, in your life, do you believe there's more than enough or never enough? And the picture that the guy said, or the illustration, is like you're walking along the beach of the beach of the ocean, and you're looking out, and all the waves just come in, don't they? They just keep coming. The waves really never stop. So if we can trust that the waves will keep coming, it's kind of like how you see that God's ability to be able to bless us. God has the ability to continually bless us, just like the waves keep coming. But if we're afraid that the waves are going to stop, that's when we stop being generous. See, if you always know that God's going to continually be blessing you in your life, you're more apt to share with those in need. You're more apt to give your tithes to the storehouse. You know what I mean? If you believe that God's going to be generous with you, then you know that you can afford to be generous with other people. Now, I've watched a lot of people get out of debt when they start to use this 80-10-10 principle. They start to get into that level of trust, and God blesses them beyond all they could ever ask or think, and things just start to flow, and it really works. But so I just want to encourage us today to understand that the blessed life is the best life. Because if we're, this is something else the Lord spoke to me. If we're not careful, one man's blessed can be another man's greedy. Okay? It's not about greed. I know I should stop right now, but I have one more little story. When I lived in Denver, and I've told this before here a long time ago, I worked as an electrician for a guy, and he had a couple sons. But anyway, I quit that company. They were kind of smaller, and I went to a different place. And anyway, all of a sudden, I ordered some pizza. My wife and I did. It was at 6860 South Banneker, I think that's the address, close to that. All of a sudden, the pizza delivery guy came. Guess who it was? One of his sons. I go, "Hey, how's it going?" "Great." Because I'd witnessed to him before and when working. And all of a sudden, he came up and said, "Hey, I want you to know, I accepted Jesus in my life." I go, "Wow, awesome." Then he says, "You know, I want to hear more about this prosperity message. You know, because I want to give, you know, if I give $100, I want $1,000 back." I go, "What?" You know, I was just going, I gave him a tip and sent him on his way. No, just, you know, dude, there's no helping you, man. You're messed up. No. But it was just kind of like, you know, many people, when they read some of those, and I, you know, you just don't major on that. It's not cool. It's not, it gives a bad vibe to people. You know, I trust God he's going to give me, you know, because God knows I need seed to sow. You know what I'm saying? You know, you got to have seed to sow. But I will tell you this, the biggest mistake you're going to make in your life when you start eating your seed. If you start eating your seed, you're never going to have any seed to sow, and you're never going to have a harvest. I guess that's where the government comes in. Just kidding. Oh, I'm trying to stay away from politics, but it's hard right now. Okay, here we go. So closing, the blessed life is the best life. You know, we tap into the blessed life when we walk in obedience to God's word. So I, you know, just challenge God, or test God on this. The Bible says that. Read that scripture over for a week or two. But, you know, read that over a little bit and pray about it, you know, and just see what God will have you do. And, well, I know what God will have you do, but see what you're willing to do. Amen? I challenge you. All right, let's close in prayer.